Hi guys, welcome to our first episode of Sip on This.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Bianca, your host.
And I'm Emad.
I'm Olivia.
So what's happening on the internet right now?
Man, things are always blowing up, hey? And I feel like it's always from something that someone posted years and years ago or even months ago.
Just so much drama.
Get resurfaced.
So much drama. There's just been, I think every single day I go on to social media, there's a new drama that was from months ago that people are just taking and then running with a story to create some kind of drama.
Yeah.
It's just it's just crazy. Your digital footprint, I think we feel like we don't realize how impactful it actually is. I mean, myself, I just post my Instagram story and I don't even think about it. To me, it goes in 24 hours, but technically it really doesn't. It could be brought back up in, 20 years' time and be used against me for some reason,
And I think also everybody has differing opinions. Like you said, you post an Instagram story, you think 24 hours and it's gone. Whereas I know other people, maybe Emad, more of you.
Yeah, he doesn't.
You're very conscious.
He doesn't know what Muggate is.
No, I have no idea. I'm fairly private online.
That's okay.
Don't have social media. I don't share too much.
It's crazy though to meet someone though these days who doesn't have social media.
I feel really old.
I feel like, do you feel like you're ever left out though, out of things?
Or no, it's more so that it's just not a part of my daily routine. I mean, if it wasn't for the agency and, using those accounts to sort of access, client ad managers, manage pages, launch campaigns, I probably wouldn't have it at all. So definitely don't feel left out. It's just not, has no importance in in my life, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that's where for us, I mean, I don't know if I can speak on behalf of you, but for me, my role being a social media manager, if I didn't have social media, I wouldn't even be able to do my job, which is so crazy because there's always times where I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to just switch off, for a week or two and just separate myself from my phone for a while. And then I realize it's not really something I can do because if I miss a week, you've missed so much. You miss a trend. You miss some kind of scandal or something interesting that might impact my job or impact the way that I do my job. So it's hard. I feel like I know that there's a lot of social media managers who want to step away from socials in their personal life or actually who have, but then they go, oh, but it's so hard because then I've missed out on something and then they miss out on the opportunities to grow their clients' socials or I think it's just, it's a bad thing in a way. Like I never get to switch off because I go on my phone and all my notifications for all the clients and all of my personal stuff is just constant. So it's kind of like, where's the balance in having, a normal personal social media versus having a social media for all your clients?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like it's a hard balance.
It's a challenging thing. Have you ever tried to switch off?
I have before working as a social media manager. You know, you have a, hey, guys, I'm switching off for a while. I won't be active. But I feel like it doesn't last.
It doesn't last
very long. And because I'm so social media driven, everything I talk about is like, oh, did you see this the other day? Did you see how this happened?
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a part of me now.
Yeah.
It sounds really bad in a way that I'm addicted to my phone, but I am.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's okay. I have an excuse like, oh, it's just my job. It's my job,
I'm working.
I'm just working. I'm scrolling and but technically I'm not wrong. I am working. No. So yeah, I think a lot of social media managers would be able to, be on the same level as me with that because it's hard to have that balance of personal life and work life through social media.
Emma, do you find when you're hiring for a job like Bianca's in social media, are you wanting her to have her own presence? Like, is that a big green flag for you?
Definitely. I guess it's kind of practice what you preach, right? And it shows that, you really love your job, you're passionate about it. And that sort of brings a good, I guess, a good vibe and a good attitude to the role. I mean, there's more than just skill.
Yeah.
You need to have an attitude and you need to want to actually do the job and genuinely love what you do. Otherwise, it's just, it's not only unhealthy for the agency you work for, but it's also unhealthy mentally, right? You shouldn't put yourself through that ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. I think it is a green light.
Yeah. Do you feel like if there was a choice between someone who didn't have a social media presence who may have all these skills on their resume, but then versus someone who has, say, a bigger social media presence, who's active on socials, but maybe less experience, that it would still sway you to choose the person with a presence?
Yeah, I think it makes the choice easier when you have a little bit to go off.
Yeah. Kind of like a portfolio.
A lot of things, like I'm a big advocate for like upskilling and training. So not necessarily hiring, you know, the person with the most skill. Yep. Like, as if you on have the attitude and you're tenacious and you want to learn and you want to get in there.
Yeah.
I think that is just as important as having someone with the skills to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it just comes back to attitude. At the end of the day. Yeah.
I know you've mentioned that you don't do the hiring from the stalking on the social media side of things. It's more of Naj's job.
Yep.
But I know that you mentioned that you like to see someone's social media, or their LinkedIn, for instance, for the cultural side of things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think for me, cultural fit is a big part of hiring.
Especially these days.
These days. Yeah. I mean, some of our best talent have been, you know, team members that have joined the agency with very little experience and have been trained up into being like really skillful seniors, I guess, at the end of the day. So I think having, you know, a LinkedIn there where I can go on and have a look and see the attitude that they're going to bring to the agency, the vibe that they're going to bring. I think that's just as important as having the skills to do the job.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. Yeah. You know, I feel like maybe beforehand, you know, I obviously didn't get a job when I was five, but back in the day it was probably more, oh, your resume was amazing. Yep. I'm going to hire off a resume rather than hiring off, you know, that person seems like they would be able to succeed and excel, and they would fit culturally with the other team members that we have here. And I think that you can definitely see the way that, for example, an agency would perform with is how everyone fits culturally together.
Definitely.
Because everyone here at our office, everyone's their own person. No two people are the same in our office. Everyone is their own person, their own personality, and they bring their own skill set and their own history to the agency. And I think that's why we all work together so well.
Yeah.
Is that it's just we culturally fit very well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that is I mean, a lot of that is not by chance. Mm. We make sure that the agencies are good.
Yeah.
We're handpicked.
Yeah.
Not that
we're handpicked, but we make sure that we sort of induce a good culture within the agency, because it makes coming to work a little bit easier. Mm. You know, sometimes if you're having a crappy day in the morning, or you're stuck in traffic and you're a little bit over it, and you get to the agency and someone brightens up your day. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it's about, right?
Days, yeah. But you can all see that. We all know immediately when someone's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
We can all feel it, but we're all very aware to, you know, be a little bit softer with that person and maybe take a little bit more care. You know, Vic's going around giving massages on everyone's shoulders, looking after all of us.
Yeah.
Or we roast them a bit harder.
Yeah, depending on the vibe that they're giving us.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's definitely the way that you guys have hired is definitely been beneficial to everyone. And I mean, I think that I work with lovely people, so it's really nice to work with people that I want to come and see every single day. But yeah, going back on digital footprint, I think that are you guys worried about your personal digital footprints in the future?
I think, like, you have to be realistic and think people have 100% lost their job for stuff they've posted online. Brands have, you know, gotten rid of their advertising agency for something they've done. Like 100% what you post online has an impact on your life. And like you said before, it might be something that you posted years ago that's come back up and is now, you know, totally tone deaf, inappropriate, whatever it is. So 100% you need to post. Yeah. But with that being said, like, obviously you can go the route of, I don't care, I'm never going to post. But how are you ever going to know? Like, you could post something that's totally fine today that's just not tomorrow.
Exactly.
Like,
I think that goes back to what I was saying about, oh, I could post an Instagram story I think is fine. Everyone else thinks fine today. But in 10, 20 years' time, people might not think it's okay, you know?
Or you might just be like, why did I post that? Like, that's not even me anymore.
Oh, we all look back on our, you know, teenage, not YouTube, Facebook posts and go, oh, God, why did I say that?
I've deleted all mine.
I need to go back and filter through. I was probably so cringe.
Yeah. I think from a brand perspective, it's extremely important, I guess, to not jump on trends for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of common sense. Mm. Go back to sort of defining what the values of the brand are, yeah. what the core pillars of the brand are. Does this trend really align with my brand? And if it does, and you've sort of gone through all your checks, your balances, and it is brand safe, then definitely that's fine to push ahead with it. But if there is a sort of an element of doubt there, well, that's probably where you might need an external opinion, or you might need to consult a PR specialist. Because the thing that's happening these days is it's not just going viral on social media. Mm. There's a lot of publications that are picking up those posts and they're writing articles about that. So you're not only going viral and sort of your story spreading across social platforms, you're being spread across traditional media, which is massive.
It's like, so big.
So you it goes really international need to be careful. Definitely.
I think is a really big driver as well is how quickly the trends change, because there's this kind of like running joke online about, you know, you've got to get corporate's approval, legal's approval, all these different teams' approval for a trend. By the time they come back and say, yep, post it,
it's
the trend's gone. You can't post it.
And we come into that, you know, restriction here sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it can be frustrating because, you know, most of the time it is approved, because we're never obviously going to take a really inappropriate trend to our clients, because we don't do that. It's not our values here. But it can be frustrating because we're like, oh, you know, that everyone's blowing up about it right now. And we're like, let's do it. Mm. And then it takes 2-3 weeks to get approved, to go through all the legal, the PR and HR, whatever it is. And then by the time, like, all good, post it, it's like, oh, well, that was kind of a waste.
Yeah, it's done.
It's hard. It's feel tough. Like there needs to be a good balance. I feel like that's why, obviously, you know, we're the agency that people come to for opinions and advice. We help clients grow socials or grow, you know, in other departments. Yeah. But we are the experts, and we obviously want to put forward ideas that are going to work and are going to have good results and performance. But then when we do come into that instance where we're waiting for so long, it almost feels a bit deflating. Like, oh, damn, that sucks. And it feels like we can't do that again. Mm. We can't put forward another trend again, because it's going to take 3 weeks, and then we're going to waste everyone's time filming it, editing it, getting that approval. And then we've wasted everyone's time. So I feel like there needs to be that balance to jump on a trend, but also kind of consider the facts.
Definitely. I think it goes back to brand safety, reviewing the values, reviewing the pillars, and possibly having a couple of different sort of layers of screening. Like, maybe you just don't put that trend forward if you actually think it's going to get knocked back, or it's not going to sort of align with the brand's values. But it definitely is. It can be a frustrating process, and it can also halt up like content production. Mm. Like, as a social agency, you want to keep developing content. You want to stay on trend as well. So it does make it a little bit difficult when you have to sort of juggle that. But I mean, that's the world we live in at the moment. And it's like a lot of brands are being caught out. So you really have to do the due diligence with it. Yeah.
Especially these days, like you could accidentally post something and then someone's going to see it, someone's going to screenshot it, save it, and you might think it's gone, but it's not gone. Mm. So everything you put out there is permanent, I guess.
For sure.
And I mean, talking about permanent, I have a public social media account personally, and, you know, you're on the opposite end of me. You don't even use social media. Mm. And for me, I guess my opinion is probably more of a generational thing as well. You know, I grew up with social media when I was in high school. It was coming out. Everyone was jumping on it. Mm. You know, you don't care what you post. You think a Snapchat's going to be deleted in 10 seconds, but it's really not. And now there's a way to save Snapchat and screenshot. And it just grew from there about the more permanent and less 10 seconds, 24 hours for a story. It's just grown so much. And now I think you realize how permanent things are. You know, if you look up your name or someone's name, you can see their deleted Twitter accounts. Mm. So you can see it's not even like someone needs to hack into something to see it. It's still there. Like, I have a Twitter account when I was like 10, and I typed in my name the other day and I'm like, oh, I don't even have Twitter. But apparently I do still, according to Google. So it's crazy. But I never really cared to Not like I'd posted anything that was inappropriate, but I just didn't think about the implications of, you know, oh, this is actually is permanent.
Yep.
You know, my mom would say, Bianca, don't make sure you don't post things that are bad, or, you know, watch out what you post. And you're like, yeah, whatever, mom. But now it's like, oh, maybe I should have cared a little bit more. She was saying it for a reason. And I think that brands forget that too sometimes. Even though they're probably international brands with legal teams and PR teams, they might be a little bit too loose and too chill and, oh, yeah, we're just going to post whatever, and then take it one time a little bit too far and then it's just gone.
Yeah.
I think a big misconception with digital footprint as well is it's just what you post publicly online.
Yes.
But it's the text messages you send. If you're chatting with, you know, your work bestie on Slack.
Or Teams or something.
Yeah, like that's not private.
Yeah.
Like given maybe someone does have to hack it or your boss needs to look into it. But everything that you put out there, online stop digitally is not
talking bad on Slack.
Safe.
Watch out.
Your boss
take
can
it to iMessage, everyone.
A quick screenshot. Well, even in iMessage, I mean, a quick screenshot.
Yes,
everything's
stored
in iCloud.
Yes,
Someone hacks into your iCloud account. Oh, it's happened to a lot of celebrities. Yeah. The messages get leaked.
It literally happened not long ago. Yeah.
Like nothing digital is safe.
No.
No, it's not. But you think it is. You think that when you have your device, you've got a passcode on it, you know, you've got your Apple ID, you think that no one can access it. I mean, I think so in that moment. I'm like, you know what, this is my little device and no one can get into it. But then you know, you work in marketing and you see all the stuff and all this, all the things come out about things being leaked, and then you're like, oh my gosh, it's actually not. But you forget about it. We've kind of been trained to forget
that. I think because it's scary
as well,
like to actually realize everything I put out is saved somewhere. Even like we were saying, if you are browsing on incognito window, like given it's not necessarily tied to your, say, Gmail account, it's all still recorded somewhere and
well,
your online behaviors.
On the ISP, but it's your internet provider.
Like, it's almost everything like everyone thinks, oh, it's private. No one's ever going to see this. But it's really not. Someone's made an incognito window and they've created it. So they're going to hold the data somewhere. Like it's. Yeah.
There's a famous court case going on at the moment related to like an influencer and her past boyfriend. And they're saying that in the court case, they're looking to bring up like tweets, his emails, all these records to prove a certain situation about him. Nothing is off limits. Like whatever you've posted, a text to a best friend being like, oh my gosh, I feel so broke, is going to come up later on and say, oh, you were struggling financially, were you? Like,
and remember that things get taken out of context on social media 100%. And text messages as well.
Definitely.
It's like when, you know, you'd have a fight with someone, it's like, oh, you know, we should call them or go see them in person because everything that you write down can be taken so many different
100%.
ways. An emoji can be taken a different way, you know, and it could be really detrimental to a brand. I know there's a famous, you know, actor who they did this little sequence about two people sending text messages to each other and one of them was reading it like, oh, yeah, chill, all good. And the other one was like, oh, my God, he's so mean.
Yeah.
He's so rude. Yeah. And it was just like, it's so funny to see both ends because your mood could totally determine on how you read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone could think it's about them and it's got nothing to do with them, but it sounds a bit specific and they're going to take it on like it's about them. Mm-hmm. And then you got drama on, you know, on social media and people going against each other and it's like, oh, everyone's just blown things out of proportion and you just got to be so careful.
Yeah, and it just goes back to a simple text.
Simple
text. Stories get created and stories about those stories.
Oh, it's just like Chinese whispers. Mm-hmm. Like it's just.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But
you got to think twice about everything.
We're not trying to scare everyone into the internet, into social media, but I think it's more about from our perspective of working in marketing, we see a lot more things. We are aware of that stuff.
You see the ugly side of it.
Yeah.
I guess that the normal consumer, I guess, doesn't get to see.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know what I think is also really interesting? We're talking about this and I think a lot of people these days have a very similar opinion to what Bianca was saying. I'll just post it. It's fine. It goes away.
Yeah.
So if everybody has that same mentality, does it even matter anymore? Like
I know.
If everyone has posted stuff online that they're, you know, wasn't quite right, does it matter? Like you're not going to find anyone that's perfect anymore.
I think that people do. I mean, look, I'm going to say again that I probably do take on that mentality sometimes. I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to go down, I know that 100,000 other people are going to go down with me for something, you know, that was maybe not important at the time, but now has been brought up 10 years later or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I think that people forget that it's not just a little comment that you've said to someone in person. No one's going to remember in 10 years' time. Like, this is written. It's like been written in stone pretty much. Like if you go, you know, to Egypt, they've got their, you know, things written in the walls, but that's there forever. They probably didn't think that anyone was going to see that.
Good analogy.
Right. No one was ever going to see that. But now we've built them up and, you know, we've dug them up and people go visit it as a tourist thing and now everyone sees it. And I think that's a good way to kind of understand that that's exactly how your text messages or your social media posts are going to come across as well in the future, you know. But, yeah, so everyone be careful of your digital footprint. But we're not trying to scare you, but these days.
But be careful.
Be careful. And I think as technology progresses over time, it's going to probably be, I'm not going to say worse, but like you should be more cautious.
I think people in general are getting more educated around the topic. I mean, you're seeing a lot more Facebook profiles that are locked now, even if you're friends with them.
Yeah.
A lot of Insta profiles are being put on private.
Yeah, like Olivia has a private Instagram. Yeah. She has Instagram, but it's private.
In my mind though, like I only want my friends to see my stuff. Like I don't really want some random old man from somewhere to look at just photos of me and my friends.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to, I mean, the original reason why social media was created was just for that, so you could interact with your friends before it blew up and became the, you know, the advertising machine that it is.
It's all advertising now.
Yeah.
You scroll a couple of times on Instagram or TikTok, it's an ad. It's an ad just every single time. And sometimes you don't even realize it's an ad. It's just been shown to you and it's been incorporated in a way that it's just so slyly been, you know, added to your feed. It's like, oh, it's just part of your general life now. Yeah, you definitely need to watch out for all that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. Digital footprint is a scary topic.
It's scary. It's definitely something to watch out for. I think, you know, even when it comes to, you know, making employment decisions for individuals, I mean, it's something that you need to keep in the back of your mind that your employer probably will give you a Google and will have a look at what's
But that could be used to your benefit as well, though.
Oh, definitely.
Like you know, a lot of us have, you know, stuff that we like to share. There's some people who have YouTube accounts who actually share their knowledge on their their department, and that's been really beneficial.
That's a big plus. I mean, we just made a recent few hires, and those individuals had their own YouTube channels where they were talking about their particular field of expertise, talking about, you know, Google Ads and things like that, and they were doing that on their own accord.
Yeah, and it was an easy way to express to you without having to put it on a resume or something. Yeah.
Definitely. That's more powerful to me.
So,
as an employer, that's more powerful than just putting it on your resume and saying, I'm passionate about Google Ads.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
10 years in Google Ads. Yeah, like, what does that mean? Definitely. What did you do? Yeah.
But if you're out there educating people, that's a huge benefit for an agency like us, because you could bring your own style, your own flair of things, your own findings, and not only upskill the people around you, but provide new solutions, new strategies to our clients and better our product as an agency, right? Yeah,
use it to your advantage, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it can be a scary kind of thing, social media and digital platform, but I think as well, use it to your advantage in this instance. If if you're looking for a job, if you want to move jobs and you might not have any physical, you know, experience in an agency or anything, but if you actually know what you're talking about and you can show that, because I guess when someone meets you, you've got about half an hour to tell them everything about yourself, right? You're going to tell them, you're going to ask the simple questions about, oh, you know, tell us a bit about yourself. And you're going to say, oh, you know, I'm really passionate about Google Ads or whatever. But if they've in their own time been able to research you and seen that here is ABC examples of really detailed information on the topic that you're that you're going for in a job, that's so good. That will boost your opportunity to get that job so much above someone who may not have that.
Yeah, no, but like the exact same thing happened to us recently. We were hiring. We did a quick Google and we found that particular individual had a video about, you know, how to set up a performance max campaign, how to get the best out of it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're looking for.
Wow, this is, you can't put that in a resume.
Exactly.
I mean, you could write that. I know how to make performance max campaigns.
Of course, but that means nothing to you on a piece of paper.
That means nothing, right? And they've showed us beforehand and, you know, that's very strong
sign. It gives you an insight of what they're going to do in their job.
For sure.
Anyone can say anything in a resume or in person in an interview, but physically being able to show that to you, it's just it's definitely a step up.
Definitely. I'm not saying by no means like everyone that applies for a job has to be a content creator or an influencer in their
field. We're all about learning here.
But even if you posted an article about something, I mean, there was someone recently had an article written on another publication about setting up Google Tag Manager or something like that, and it was a really technical article. And me coming from a technical background, like when we were doing our research on that individual, I read that and I was like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. Of course. This
and is good. You can't add an article link into your resume, right?
Exactly. Oh, you could.
But whether or not that's going to help or not.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's good. So definitely use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, you have to be cautious with it and there are dangers with it, you can definitely use it to
there's so many positives. Your
career progression as
definitely,
well.
Definitely, yeah. No, I definitely agree on that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Thanks, guys. That was our very first episode of Sip on This. How exciting. We're all done.
Yeah.
If you guys want to watch our next episode, make sure to subscribe and follow us on all our social medias and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks.
See you guys.
Bye.